So Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We're going to get started. It's 10:45, and it's time for our Rivka Remnant class. And we're going to start on page 113. We're going to read the paragraph just before on page 112 to segue into page 113. And be sure, and we'll give time to have questions, and we want the questions on the recording so that we can write them down for Rabbi to have as part of the discussion next week. So page 112, how prophetic it is that Yeshua was sold for 30 pieces of silver, just as Joseph himself. In a pattern that will repeat itself again and again in the Rivka remnant, God raised a remnant to take up the burden of the 30 pieces of silver. Benjamin serves as a mediator between Joseph, the Messiah, and his 10 brothers as the vessel of redemption. Benjamin became the extraction tool of the treasures out of the darkness, or Christianity itself. Benjamin represents an authentic messianic Jewish movement that is willing to walk alongside Christians today in their quest for reunification with Messiah. Benjamin's ability to walk with his brothers to Joseph became the ultimate 300 pieces of silver, 30 for each brother, that were used for redemption of the holy remnant, dressed in the proper garments to enter the wedding. The birthing process can be summarized like this. The four stages of redemption include conflict, the battle for Esau's world by Jacob, extraction, pulling the spark of holiness out of Christianity, ushering, preparing the world for the return of Messiah through the spark of Joseph, and unifying, the complete unification of King Messiah, son of David, with Messiah, son of Joseph. In the case of our narrative in focus found in Genesis 25:19, the additional vav at the beginning of the sentence in the words seem to suggest the potential of the restoration of Jacob's world to the world of toldot, or perfection, through the relationship with Esau. The text implies the potential for Jacob's fullness, yet the questions remain. What must Jacob do to attain his fullness, and how can his relationship with his wicked brother benefit him in the process? After all, so many passages speak of God's hate of Esau, and I can imagine that the concept that God somehow disapproves of Christians can be very upsetting, at the very least, to the non-Jewish audience who may be reading this book. Let me stress to you, faithful reader, that without the repair of Esau, Jacob cannot receive the missing vav, his fullness. Therefore, the role of Jacob, or Judaism, in repairing Christianity is vital for all. Unfortunately, it is clear that Jacob was unsuccessful in fixing Esau, just as Judaism today has had limited impact on how Christianity developed. If the key for the coming of Messiah is in the birthing process and the raising up of Esau, yet Jacob is not qualified to do this, who has the mandate to rectify Esau through this process? The answer is a Jewish remnant out of Jacob. As we will learn, there are two unique remnants with two unique calls, an Eleazar remnant and a Rivka remnant. At the very center of the 12 chapters focused on Jacob's life, we find the portrait of the collaborators who impacted Jacob's life in his quest for his own fullness. Operating in a defective world, as we see at the beginning of the portion, requires the remnant's support for Jacob's fulfillment of his mission in partnership with the remnant. It is essential to note the parallel between the two different types of births. For Jacob to be born, Rivka herself had to be born again prior to the birth of Jacob, who is the Messiah. Today, the key for Jacob's salvation rests on Rivka's birthing, as the Gentiles' fullness must take place to start the fullness of the Jews. So who was Rivka? What qualified her as the remnant? From what did she come out of? It is important to pay close attention to the Torah's description of Rivka to uncover this mystery. And from the scriptures, Genesis 24:15. Now before he had finished speaking, behold, there was Rivka, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, going out with her jar on her shoulder. Genesis 24:15 uses the word yotzet, or coming out, to describe Rivka's action before meeting Eleazar, the servant of Yitzhak. The passage raises a strange question about the true identity of Rivka herself. The narrative does not tell us where she was coming out from. The usage of the word coming out refers to a spiritual barrier that Rivka broke out of to meet the messenger of the groom, Yitzhak. In addition, the Hebrew word terem, meaning before, suggests that Rivka came out at great speed to hasten the meeting. The Ramad explains in rabbinics, in addition to the simple meaning of coming out, the principal interpretation is that she came out from the grave of Hakever, Tuma, or filthiness, in which she was born, raising herself to the level of connecting with Haboker, meaning the morning or the light of holiness. Rivka, who assisted the birth process of birthing Jacob into his fullness, had to go through a process of personal resurrection before fulfilling her role. Residing within Rivka's name is the great secret of her journey to become the remnant. The Ramad suggests that Rivka herself had to be resurrected from the grave before fulfilling her role. In essence, Rivka had to be born again and resurrected from the dead before taking this great commission upon herself. What an incredible picture of the remnant and the power of resurrection found within her. Rivka's lineage does not leave us many doubts about what she needed to come out of. Rivka had to leave a culture of witchcraft and sorcery to become the remnant that initiated the process of redemption. Let us look carefully at the exchange between Bethuel, Eleazar, and the servant of Yitzhak, and Rivka, as recorded in the Torah. From Genesis 24:54-57, When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me off to my master." But her brother, with her mother, said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, or 10. Afterward she may go." But he said to them, "Don't delay me, since God has made my way successful. Send me off so that I can go to my master." So they said, "We'll call the young woman, and let's ask what is in her mouth." Then they called Rivka and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." The Chidah explains the nature of the dialogue between Bethuel and Eleazar and the depth of darkness that Rivka came out of. From Jewish thought, what did Bethuel declare? "Let us ask what is in her mouth," and not ask her opinion. The house of her father was a house of magicians and sorcerers. They wanted to use their powers to see what would come out of her mouth. Her words would become a sign for them as to how to guess on this matter, to see if this marriage was befitting or not. That is why they answered in the mouth of Rivka. Rivka was wise and knew their wickedness. So she was crafty to answer with one word, Elech, "I will go," and nothing more. She did it to not give them the opportunity to guess their own desires, to stop her from going with Eleazar to marry Yitzhak. When they heard her answer, their mind became confused and their tongue got stuck, so that Rivka, their sister, would be able to be sent out, and they did not open their mouth, nor derail her from raising the house of Israel. Today, many people feel that they must prove their physical lineage or even convert to Judaism to become the remnant. However, Rivka's ability to overcome her bloodline gave her the merit to start her journey to become the remnant. Rivka, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, began her journey of coming out of her pagan traditions to lay the foundation of the Messianic highway with the birth of her two sons. The grave and Rivka. Secondly, it is important to look carefully at the wording of the Torah to understand the importance of her carrying a jar on her shoulder on her way out. What does this jar represent? Rabbi Schneerson commented, this is from Rabbinics, the jar symbolizes grace. Now it is understood why Eleazar had to go to a foreign country to bring Rivka as a lily among thorns. Rivka, who is matched with Yitzhak from a foreign land, carried the measure of grace and mercy within her. The reason that Rivka is called the lily among the thorns is that she represents the remnant among the nations. The words of Rav Shaul come alive through the story of Rivka. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. This is from Ephesians 2:19. To play a part in the redemption's birthing process, Rivka had to transform her own identity to become a lily. Her desire to hasten her wedding by running out and interrupting the words of Eleazar show her willingness to hasten the ultimate redemption, which is midrashically represented by her wedding to Yitzhak, the Messiah. For Rivka to take up her role as the remnant, she had to be brought out of the thorns by a messenger from the house of Yitzhak. Similarly today, the remnant from among the nations is covered in the thorns of 2,000 years of Christianity and cannot come out by its own power. Messianic Judaism has been given a great call and a mandate to search for the lilies among the nations for the benefit of the entire house of Israel. The remnant, or those precious lilies among the thorns, carrying the attribute of grace that Yitzhak, or Judaism, is desperately needing. Messianic Judaism is at a critical impasse. We must decide whether we are to remain in the house of Laban and Betuel, or if we will complete our mission of birthing the remnant with the words, "Send me off to my master," as Eleazar did. Rivka's willingness to leave her home and familiar surroundings behind signaled her birthing process and the beginning of her resurrection out of the house of darkness. Rivka's decision to embark upon her own Lech Lecha journey that led to her wedding with Yitzhak and eventually to birth Jacob, the Messiah, into the world can be summed up in one Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is, I will walk, I will leave. Take a break here. Are there any questions? Okay, no questions at this time, so let's keep moving on. We are now at the top of page 121. It is necessary to view Rivka's pointed response through the lens of the Hebrew language that reveals much about her character. Rashi explains that Rivka is to leave of her own accord, even though Laban and Betuel did not consent. Rivka's response is an authoritative one that reveals her determination to depart from the old world into the new world without any doubt or fear of the consequences of leaving her father's house. Similarly, the word elek, or I will leave, is derived from the word lek, leave, just as recorded in Genesis 12:1, when Abraham left everything behind to enter a new covenant with God. Rivka started her journey by joining the Abrahamic covenant and following in Abraham's footstep. The first phase of the journey takes place by walking out her faith. Today, many from the nations want to play the role of Rivka by name only. One of the predominant aspects of the true Rivka remnant is its ability to powerfully overcome the traps and snares of Edom, never to look back. The addition of the letter Aleph before the verb walk signifies Rivka's conscious decision to take ownership of her walk toward Yitzhak, which ultimately symbolizes the house of Israel. Sadly, many who claim to be the Rivka remnant have one foot in the house of Betuel and one foot in the house to Yitzhak. Today, many followers of Yeshua use the term dual expression in a feeble attempt to justify their presence in both houses. It is clear from Rivka's authoritative answer that she is leaving for good and never coming back as she enters into a new covenant through her own Lech Lecha experience. Rivka's simple response, Elech, highlights her determination, focus, and zeal to join a greater house. The underlying tone behind the question presented to Rivka prior to her departure by Laban and Betuel was deceptive at its very core. Will you go with this man? The words in Hebrew for that man, or Hayish Hazeh, suggest a negative and manipulative tone from Betuel and Laban. However, a remez, or linguistic clue, lingers behind the seemingly strange language of the Torah. The Baal HaTarim leaves us with a chilling linguistic pearl visible only through the holy tongue. Will you go with this man? Moses. The acronym of the question spells out the word Moses. In essence, Laban and Betuel ask Rivka, are you willing to follow our Torah or this new Torah? According to the linguistic clue, Rivka chose to follow Moses. How could it be? Moses was not born yet. It is well known that the Torah was given in part to Abraham and then fulfilled by Moses. She chose to go to the house of Yitzhak, which is a house of Torah. The question that Rivka was faced with is perhaps the biggest question for those who desire to be part of the Rivka remnant, and for those who desire to come out of the system of Christianity in the journey to the house of Israel. Are you willing to take upon yourself the unknown Torah of the house of Israel? Allow me to pause for a moment and touch on this sensitive topic, as many today claim to be returning to Torah, yet reject the Torah of the Jewish people, made up of written commandments and the oral interpretations of how to fulfill these commandments. Rivka's answer, I will go, can be interpreted as, I will submit to the Torah of Yitzhak. Today, too many Rivka wannabes desire to come to the house of Yitzhak and redecorate it with dual expression. The house of Yitzhak must remain set apart, and Rivka's desire to submit to the Torah of Yitzhak resonates with the word of Rav Shaul, who declared, then what is the advantage of being Jewish? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, they were entrusted with the sayings of God. This is from Romans 3, 1 and 2. The bottom of page 123. Today, too many Rivkas in costume desire equality in interpreting the Torah. Rivka's answer unveiled her humility in accepting the onus of the unknown as she understood the authority of the house of Yitzhak that came to sweep her away to a brand new life. Her willingness to go with Yitzhak's servant, Eleazar, shows her submission to the house of Yitzhak. Often, Gentiles who desire to go through Rivka's journey refuse to accept Eleazar as a guide. Messianic Judaism has a clear role in bringing the nations to the house of Israel. While the nations must follow this path to avoid losing the way, as we often see. Furthermore, it is clear from the words of Rav Shaul that the interpretation of the scriptures, or the path of Rivka, has been given to Yitzhak, and by extension to his servant, not to those who are grafted in. The remnant must remain humble in their journey on the path to the house of Israel. Today, many Rivkas desire to tower over Eleazar. Yet, during Rivka's exodus, we read that Rivka followed the man. Christians must humble themselves in their journey out of normative Christianity, while Messianic Judaism must assume its role in leading them into Judaism. Without doing that, the process of rebirthing the rectified house of Jacob will be delayed. The remnant must commit to the path of the Torah, to marry the Jewish people, and ultimately birth the Messiah in this great love story. I know that the concept of putting Gentiles under the law can be terrifying and even upsetting to those who are not Jewish. However, those who have the heart to reconcile with Yitzhak should consider the implications of Rivka's journey carefully. In her journey, while being uprooted from the old to the new, Rivka accepted the yoke of her husband's covenant. Just as Gentiles who want to reconcile should accept the framework of the house of Israel. The focus should not be on Rivka's obligation, as the servant does not ask her to change or to walk in Torah at the beginning of the journey. The journey begins with the desire of her heart to replace her roots. Later on, she fulfills her ultimate role as a result of her journey. Putting the full weight of Torah on the Gentile remnant will cause their own journey to be burdened with heavy weights, which will lead to a catastrophic outcome in reaching Yitzhak with a valuable gift. So where is the middle ground in this journey? Unlike Yitzhak, who is under the Torah that was passed to him, Rivka, on the other hand, chose to go with this man. The answer is found within Rivka's heart and her desire to be grafted in to Yitzhak's covenants and become his helper. Today, the church is called to be a helper to the Jewish people, not to replace them or to compete with the promises given to Israel, but rather understand and support the root, the Jewish people and the Messiah. The remnant of the church that hears the calling to come out will need the support of the Messianic Jewish world to achieve this task. I believe that the language of the Torah in describing Eleazar, who is linked with both Yitzhak, the Jewish people, and Rivka, the remnant from the nations, as this man, is prophesied about by the prophet Zechariah, who declared, from Zechariah 8:23, "They will take hold of every Jew by a corner of his cloak and say, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" Today, the Messianic Jewish movement must extract and redeem the remnant from the house of Betuel and Laban. The passage in Zechariah concludes with the words, "God is with you," which is essential to our general understanding of the end times. The Hebrew word "you" can take two forms, singular or plural. In this case, the word appears in the plural form, etkem. The verse speaks of the calling of the Jewish people to redeem Rivka, the nations, out of Christianity to fulfill its role. In her response to fulfill her role, Rivka reached the pinnacle of the words of the Torah, Naaseh Venishma, we will do and we will hear, without fully understanding what she was getting herself into. Rivka may be viewed as a work in progress. Cutting her own roots and past identity required a significant internal struggle. Her ability to become a blank, teachable page allowed her to fulfill her redemptive role. For those who desire to be part of the Rivka remnant, the words, we will do and we will hear, are the only way to overcome the journey. These words are explained best by the Rashbam in his commentary to the Torah, as he took a positive view on the question posed to Rivka about her willingness to depart the old, to join the new. And he explains in rabbinics, it was customary to give a bride, a virgin, 12 months to prepare herself for such a radical adjustment as moving from her parents' home to her husband's. Rivka's answer in waiving her own grace period shows her passion in taking on this new identity and hastening the redemption process. As a Messianic Jewish rabbi, I have had the chance to observe the path of Rivka, taken by thousands of Gentiles over the years. Sadly, in many cases, those who proclaim to walk the straight and narrow path in fulfilling their mission are often tripped, slowed down, stalled, passive, or even worse, lose their way in this journey. Today, so many Gentiles who start this process either end up fully converted to Judaism or in a type of spiritual amnesia as to the purpose behind their journey. How do we keep the remnant from stumbling and fulfilling her role? The answer is hidden in the actions of Rivka, the servant of the Lord, and the words of the Torah itself. Let's take a closer look. In Genesis 24:61, we read, then Rivka and her maids arose, mounted the camels, and followed the man. So the servant took Rivka and went his way. She didn't go alone.
That's right.
She had her maids with her. She didn't go alone. We're at the top of page 128. And no questions have come up as of yet. Rivka's action of rising up parallels the word of Yeshua. Get up, pick up your mattress, and go home. Let us look carefully at Rivka's journey home. Shabbat shalom. Let us look carefully at Rivka's journey home. We are at the top of page 128. Our rabbis explained in rabbinics, Rivka arose as she walked out of a defiled house and went to a sacred house, and they rode the camels. Said R. Levi, this is natural with camels. As they grow up in the East, representing foreign and idol worship, our rabbis taught us, like the camels who present signs of defilement and holiness, so Rivka gave birth to righteous and wicked men. The ability of Rivka to rise up signifies much more than her ability to get on the camel in her departure from spiritual chaos, but suggests that Rivka seized control of her environment by riding upon the evil that was in her house. Rivka was able to take spiritual authority over evil, which is an attribute of both Messiah and Moses. In order to understand the significance of Rivka arising and riding the camel, let us turn our attention to Exodus 32:20. He took the calf that they had made and burned it. He ground it to powder and strewed it upon the water, and so made the Israelites drink it. The term vayakach, or took, is more than taking a physical object. What did the Torah mean by the expression, took the calf? Or L'chaim provides us with this insightful answer in rabbinics. The expression lachach, or took, is a description of the sanctity of gaining control over spiritually negative forces. Husk, klipah, is used by the Talmud in Yoma 69, where the members of the Great Assembly are described as seizing the spirit which seduces men into worshiping idols and other sins, and they're trying to eliminate it. Moses did something similar here when he seized the spirit of impurity within the golden calf and burned it. How did Moses seize control out of darkness? The Ramad elaborates on the nature of the miracle in this from the rabbinics. We must revel at the miracle that took place. How did Moses, our rabbi, have the fortitude to stand up to all these evil people and not only burn and grind up their idol, but have them drink it as well? Moses was the recipient of special divine assistance, one who acts out of a sense of zeal for the honor of heaven, is clothed with special strength. This zeal emanates from Joseph's spirit. Joseph having the numerical value of 156, which is the same as the word for zeal. Moses, clothed with this additional strength, was not afraid of any of these people and went out to defend the honor of Hashem. And there we see both the words in Hebrew for zeal and Joseph, the secret of your exodus. Moses' ability, and we should stop, are there any questions? Moses' ability to grind up the evil inclination represented by the golden calf was possible because of the messianic measure of strength by Messiah, son of Joseph, the spark of Joseph. Similarly, the same messianic spark enabled Rivka to ride the camel and to seize the control of the forces of darkness as she consumed all of the klipot, or interferences, between herself and the God of Abraham and Yitzhak. All who seek to overcome the barriers of their journey, let me stress that our ability to seize our personal golden calf, donkey, or camel is essential to our ability to become part of the process of redemption. Our strength and power to come out is derived from Joseph alone. How tragic that many who begin the journey as the Rivka remnant end up leaving the bones of Joseph behind. Their walk becomes powerless. Today, I urge all to walk the walk towards the house of Yitzhak through Yeshua, son of Joseph, as the Torah declares. And from Exodus 13:19, and Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had extracted an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will be sure to take notice of you, then you shall carry up my bones from here with you. A great secret is revealed to us in the pages of the Torah. It is well known that Moses, our first Redeemer, will resemble the last Redeemer. Messiah, son of David, his name is equivalent in Hebrew to the word Shiloh from Genesis 49:10. During the Exodus, while the children of Israel ran to collect the gold for the Egyptians, Moses was busy looking for the bones of Joseph. Just like the first Exodus, the secret for the success of the final Exodus depends on the unification of Joseph and Moses, who are the two Messiahs, Messiah son of David and Messiah son of Joseph. The two messianic figures will reunite, just as prophesied by Ezekiel's two sticks vision. The future wedding is the unification of Judaism and the remnant. And we see under Rivka in the picture is Messiah, son of Joseph, and the bones of Joseph, the remnant of the nations, the remnant of the 10 virgins. And under Itzhak, we see Messiah, son of David, Moses, the Jewish people, and the groom. In a Jewish wedding ceremony, the bride initiates the wedding by walking toward the groom and joining him. Ironically, Itzhak understood that his bride was approaching as a Messiah. Essentially, Rivka's journey triggered Itzhak to see God and fulfill his role as a Messiah to Rivka. Make no mistake, dear reader, just as Rivka facilitated the fullness of Itzhak and his house, Itzhak brought Rivka to her fullness in his messianic role. The remnant out of Christianity today will serve the function of bringing the Messiah to the Jewish people, while the Jewish people will hasten the fullness of the Gentiles. Paul refers to the final redemption in Romans 11 as a mystery for that exact reason. Both the Jew and the remnant from the nations will become messiahs to one another to usher the birthing process of the final redemption. Just before Rivka's arrival, which signals the beginning of her fullness, the groom himself must prepare for the remnant, as noted in the Torah itself. And we read this in Genesis 24:62. Meanwhile, Itzhak, one evening after coming along the road from Be'er Lachairoi, he was living in the Negev. The Ibn Ezra suggests that the place that Itzhak comes out of before meeting with Rivka has two distinct names. Let us understand Itzhak's preparation prior to meeting his bride. The Be'er, or well, represents Torah, and Lachai represents life, thus the wells of life. As explained earlier in the chapter, Itzhak represents the readiness of the Jewish people to meet their own Messiah. Rabbeinu Baya leaves us no doubt as to the true identity of Itzhak before his life-changing encounter with Rivka. And we read in the Rabbinics this verse and the words ma and the words ba mavo. Itzhak came back, may be a reference to the spiritual equivalent of the Jewish people. Itzhak had now only returned from a 3-year stay at that holy site, Mount Moriah. He had been shown by God that this was the spiritual well of the Jewish people, the source from which they receive water, i.e. Torah, which keeps them alive. During all this time when Itzhak had lived in solitude, his whole thinking had concentrated on the concept and eventual realization of what the Jewish people are supposed to stand for in God's scheme of things. Today, the most significant task of the Jewish people is to immerse themselves in the Torah, to prepare to receive the remnant of the nations who are carrying the Messiah, son of Joseph, with them. Rabbeinu Baya identifies Itzhak as Klal Israel, who must surround themselves in the practice of the Torah of the Messiah. Although our understanding of the Torah of Israel is incomplete prior to the unification with Rivka, or the remnant, the Jewish people must immerse themselves in the Torah with great expectation and preparation for the coming of Messiah. Too many Jewish people stop anticipating his return to the point that even their study of Torah minimizes their preparation for the wedding that symbolizes Messiah's coming. Rabbi Weitzman sheds light on the preparation period for the unification that will birth the Messiah into this world. And in Jewish thought, what value is there to the Torah that we study today? Since it is considered foolishness, does it reduce its importance? This is not the case. Our sages explain that we resemble a baby who studies the Torah in the womb of his mother, and when he is born, he forgets the Torah. From Nida 30b. Was the value of the first Torah lost? There is still great value in the first Torah. When we, the born baby, identify the new Torah, it won't be new in our eyes, as we will remember our mother's words, and the words will integrate into our world since we heard them before. Our responsibility in this world is to study the Torah in such a way that we will be ready to receive the Torah of Messiah. The notion that normative Judaism does not have a role to play in the complete redemption is false at its core. All parties have a critical role in the plan of redemption. While Messianic Judaism is taking the role of Eleazar, the nations must be transformed to Rivka. However, it is Yitzhak himself, the Jewish world, who is called to become the ultimate welcoming committee for the complete engrafting of the remnant. The Jewish world must engage in the Torah of life to prepare the Torah of grace that will be received upon Rivka's arrival and engrafting. Today, the remnant must challenge the Jewish people to seek the essence found in every letter of the Torah, which is the Messiah. Evangelizing the Jews is not the mission of the remnant. Instead, it is the mission of the nations to prepare the groom to reconcile with his foreign bride. Rabbi Yehuda Halavi, in his book Pa'anek Raza, explains the hidden mystery in this passage. And in the graphic above, it says, "And Yitzhak came from the Garden of Eden, both having equal numerical value." In essence, Yitzhak's arrival at the wedding occurs when he smells like the Torah that seeks to unify the two Messiahs into one. Just as Messiah came down from heaven to tabernacle with his remnant, the Jewish people must come out of the world of Torah to reconcile with the remnant of the nations. Without the two who become a Messiah to one another, Rivka to Yitzhak, and vice versa, the final redemption cannot occur. Rabbi Benjamin Liu explains the spiritual condition of Yitzhak and his desperate need for a Rivka with these sobering words from Jewish thought. The sages of the Talmud see Yitzhak's journey out of Be'er Lachairoi as a journey of a poor man who wraps himself in his loneliness before God as he pours out his heart. He is in the serene conditions of the field. On the other hand, he is found in a place of pain with the loss of his mother and the binding by a father. He finds himself in deep prayer for a light beam, and out of this prayer, he lifts up his eyes and sees Rivka. Immediately after their meeting, they return to Sarah's tent. The tasks of Rivka, Eleazar, and Yitzhak are equally important, yet unique in ushering in the complete redemption. We can see the parallel between Yeshua's parable of the 10 virgins to the journey of Rivka. The 5 virgins who carried oil in their lamps were successful in their journey to meet the groom, just like Rivka. The remnant will be successful in her journey, as it will prompt the groom to come out. The journey of Christians to become the remnant of the house of Israel has only one measure of success: Yitzhak's response. And Yitzhak went out walking in the field toward evening, and looking up, he saw the camels approaching. And I think that's a good place to stop for today. So we will take it up next week on page 137 with the last paragraph, the focus on the picture of redemption. Father, we thank you for being with us and teaching us as we walk through these steps. We give you praise that you have brought this information to us, that we might walk out our Rivka walk more clearly and with passion, with understanding. And we give you praise as we conclude this class today. Amen.